Welcome to today's episode of the On Her Mind podcast. I'm chatting with Katrina Blowers, who has an impressive resume. She's an author, has her own podcast, and is a senior reporter for Channel 7. I was lucky enough to watch Katrina MC an event, and she's such an awesome speaker. So I asked Katrina for tips and tricks on public speaking, and we also dive into imposter syndrome. So let's get right into it. Katrina, welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Jess, it is my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, I really want to dive straight into your journey and your story, what really makes you you and where it all started.
Well, so I'm a news presenter at Channel 7 in Brisbane in Queensland, but I've kind of travelled all over the place. I was born in Queensland and then grew up in Canberra, which, you know, as a child I was like, God, this place is not that cool for kids. But, you know, going back as an adult now, because I've had to go back and cover various federal elections, it is the best place to go as an adult. But as a child, there wasn't much to do there. However, because I knew really early on that I had this burning ambition to become a journalist, I ended up doing a lot of work experience at the press gallery at Parliament House from the age of 12.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know, right? I can't believe they even let me in. I bet with all the current, you know, occupational health and safety rules, they wouldn't let any 12-year-olds into Parliament House now. But they would make me hold the microphone to do what's called the doorstop interviews, where you get the politicians arriving for work in the morning from 4 o'clock in the morning in the middle of winter, because no one else wanted to do it. But I thought it was the best thing ever. So it actually ended up being a bit of a blessing growing up in Canberra. I ended up moving away to uni, but coming back, getting my first job at Channel 10 in Canberra. But I looked really young for my age. So I ended up doing about 10 years in radio, which was some of the best years of my career. I then took a year off, grown up gap year, went traveling around the world, wrote a book about it, and then moved into television and Channel 9 in Sydney, ABC, and then moved to Brisbane where I am today.
That's amazing. I can't believe you were doing it so young and for you to be so driven as well. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's funny though, because I've had moments throughout my career where, because I've been fixated on this one thing, I've often wondered whether I've cut myself off from other opportunities or other life paths, but I keep coming back to this job. And to me, there's no better job in the world than being able to tell other people's stories, being able to meet people on the best and the worst days of their lives, and being able to travel all around the world to tell these stories. So I'm yet to find a better job, but I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty cool job. And you know, you do a lot of amazing things, and I was lucky enough to see you speak at an event, and you're such an amazing speaker, and you come across so confident and so well composed and just like no nerves whatsoever. You just do this in your sleep. How on earth do you make it look so calm, cool and collected?
Oh my gosh, Jess, it is all smoke and mirrors. I can absolutely assure you of that. I feel nervous every time I do something new, and even when I don't do new things. So even before I read the news, I feel nerves. And I was talking to, there's a news presenter, a veteran news presenter up here. His name is Rod Young in Queensland, who has been reading the news for over 40 years. And I went to him for some advice because I said, look, I feel nervous before every news bulletin. Is this normal? And he said to me, I still get butterflies, and that's a sign that you actually care about what you're doing. And he said, the day the butterflies disappear is the day that you probably should take a bit of a look at yourself. But there, Jess, there's so many body language hacks, and you do a lot of voice training as well, so that you don't show the nerves. You can still feel them, but you don't show them. I can assure you they're definitely there.
Yes, I know. I've been listening to your podcast as well, Claiming Your Confidence, And I love it. It's so awesome. And I just love the message that you're getting out there. And you did mention on the podcast that, you know, you were reading the live news one night and you ended up having a panic attack. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I'll preface this by saying this happened 4 years ago, and it took me until the beginning of 2020 to feel confident enough to tell the story, because it took me a number of years to get through that. And I think I experienced a lot of shame in, I just felt like I'd let myself down. And of course, I don't feel that way anymore, but it took me a while to work through that and to get over that feeling of worrying what other people would think of me when I did tell the story. And it's funny, I was talking to a mentor of mine about that, and she said, "What are you worried about telling the story?" And I said, "I'm worried about what everyone's going to think." And she said, "Well, who?" And I said, "Everyone." And she said, "No, it's not everyone, like exactly who." And it ended up being two people, you know, in a world of 7 billion people, I was worried about what two people would think. But getting back to how it happened, I was going through a divorce and feeling pretty stressed out. I think no matter how amicable a divorce is, I have two children. When you're breaking up a family unit and you're pretty much blowing up your whole life, it is a stressful time. Mm-hmm. I was going into work, you know, as we mentioned, it is my dream job. I was treating that as a bit of a happiness bubble and pretending that it was all good, nothing to see here, business as usual. And because I hadn't dealt with the underlying stress, stress has a way of manifesting and coming to bite you in a way that you can't ignore. And for me, that happened while I was reading the Sunday night news. As I mentioned, I always get those butterflies, and we have a countdown in our ear as we're about to go live on air. And it counts down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and the spotlight's on you and you can't see anything other than the auto cue, and it's a dark studio. So, you know, it's a challenging environment. And anyway, as we counted down to one, I just felt like I couldn't breathe properly. My heart was pounding out of my chest. I couldn't talk properly. I just wanted to rip my microphone off and run out of the studio. It was such an uncomfortable, people have described panic attacks like having a heart attack. And that is honestly, it was a full body experience. And all I could think about was, I cannot make it to YouTube. I can't go viral as one of those people losing it on air. So I said, "Good evening." I said the very first line of the story, the lead story. And I said the last line, missing about three paragraphs, because I knew that I just had to get off camera and give the production guys a cue to roll the first story. And we got into the first story and they said to me, my director said to me, "What on earth just happened? Did your auto cue fail?" And I said, "No, I'm pretty sure I just had a panic attack." And they were so beautiful. And they, because I then had to do another hour of live television on my own. And they were talking me through each story, doing breathing exercises with me. I got through that night, but then the real challenge began in the weeks and months to come, when I started to get a lot of anxiety about having another one. So that's where the real work began, and I had to make a decision. Do I walk away from this job that I've worked so hard to get to, because it became quite unbearable, just even driving in my car to go to work, I would start feeling that awful feeling again. Or do I put my journalist hat on and research all the science about confidence and work really hard at reclaiming my confidence? So it took a number of years, but I'm happy to say I'm absolutely, you know, better than ever now. And it was, they always say that your biggest challenge is one of your biggest gifts. And I can say that it was.
Yeah. And you've come out the other end. So fast forward, you've done the work, you've done the research, and have you sort of had another panic attack or that anxiety creep back in? How do you go about really dealing with that when it shows up again, because I feel like it never really goes away. You just become more aware of it.
Yes. And so I used to think that feeling confident and being confident was about not feeling those nerves, was about I used to think confidence was a feeling, and now I know that confidence is an action. It's something you do rather than something that you feel. So it is that expression of feeling the fear and doing it anyway. I believe that being confident is being courageous and not letting those nerves and all that self-doubt and that toxic kind of chatter in your head get in the way of doing the things that you want to do in your life. So I did have another little panic attack when I was speaking on stage. That was later that year. And again, I let my self-talk get to me. So it was an event where there were lots of really high profile people, and I started to get that whole, what are they going to think of me? That imposter syndrome of, what am I doing here? Why do they want me to speak at this event? You know, I'm not qualified to be here. And I just let that get to me. And reflecting on it afterwards, I just decided that I wouldn't beat up on myself, and I'd just be super kind to myself, and I would learn from that. And I'm happy to say I haven't had a panic attack since, so it's been a number of years now.
Oh, no more live on-air panic attacks.
No. But you know what? You know what? Even if, because that's one of the strategies, it's thinking, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? And even if I did have another panic attack live on air, like, what is the worst that could happen? I might just look like a bit of a fish out of water for a few seconds, and then my director would probably roll a story, and big deal. Like, And that's one of the beautiful things about being able to face your fears is going, well, this isn't going to be the end of the world. I'm not saving lives here. let's just see this for what it is.
And just go for it. Yeah. And facing that fear. You mentioned before that imposter syndrome. It's something that is so there, and it is so hard to break down and overcome. Do you have any ways that when you are trying to get up somewhere, or you're in a room full of people, or you're at work and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not experienced for this, or I need to get like 12 degrees to be able to do this.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that imposter syndrome?
It's so funny. I feel like imposter syndrome has been talked about more in 2020, and you know, this time of our lives than ever before. I've never heard it talked about more. And I think it's because we've all just come through and are still coming through a huge period of uncertainty. And that's when imposter syndrome strikes. It's when you're stepping out of your comfort zone. It's when you're doing new things. So you, again, going back, you've got to see it for what it is. Don't let it consume you. Try and get some separation between the thought and the story that you're telling yourself about the thought, and your reaction, your emotional reaction to that. So if you can create some space between that thought, the story, and how you choose to respond to that, that's when you know that you're in the driver's seat and the imposter syndrome is in the passenger seat. So there's a few ways that you can go about it. If you are a person who loves, you know, evidence-based strategies, then you look at the science of it and you go, okay, why is it that I'm having this thought? It's because my brain is doing its job. It is just keeping me safe. You go back to that lizard brain, the amygdala, which is what kept our ancestors safe in prehistoric times. And anytime there was a perceived threat or a new challenge on the horizon, our brains would just go, nah, we are wanting to keep you where you were because we know that that environment was safe for you. Big alarm bells, don't go there. And that's all it is. Every time you step out, you get a promotion, you step on stage, you press live on, you know, your Instagram stories, whatever. It's your brain's way of trying to keep you safe. If you're into meditation, it is a beautiful strategy to find that space between having the thought and your reaction to it. That's what meditation essentially does. And again, like if you're a woo-woo person, awesome. But if you're not, and I wasn't to begin with, I needed to see the science for it. Meditation actually increases the gray matter in your brain. It actually increases the folds in your brain and calms down your parasympathetic nervous system, which is the, the fight, flight or freeze. It's the response to that to calm yourself down. So meditation enables you to be able to take that space and to recognize those thoughts for what they are. So I started off doing the Headspace app, and there was an anxiety 30-day challenge on there. And that only, was 2 minutes a day, 3 minutes a day at first. And that gave me that tool in my toolkit to be able to step back and see those thoughts for what they really were.
Yeah. And I think allowing them, we all feel anxiety at times. We all feel those feelings come through, allowing them to come in, have a seat at the table, but then not for too long, letting them leave the room so that you can actually go, okay, it's okay to feel that. And then putting the tools, like meditation is such a great practice, and doing breath work to be able to move through that, those fight or flight feelings. You get the heart palpitations, especially if you're going up on stage or doing a, you're speaking in front of a group or a crowd, just sort of being able to like calm. Cause I know for me, like my heart races, my chest gets tight, my brain feels like it's going to explode. I just want the ground to literally swallow me up when that happens. And you, like all your adrenaline is running.
Yeah. So a really good way in the moment, because a lot of people say to me, what do I do in the moment when I'm up on stage and, and I'm getting that awful panicked feeling? A really good way is to, you mentioned breath work, is to watch your breathing. So when we do get that heart racing feeling, a natural instinct is to try and breathe quite deeply and to breathe quite shallowly. So watch your breathing, because that's going to fuel that anxiety even further. A little trick is, how some people say with anxiety, if you hold an ice cube, that you cannot be anxious and hold an ice cube at the same time. Well, it's probably not possible for you to take an ice cube on stage. But in the moments before going on stage or doing a social media live or whatever it is that triggers you, breathe less, because doing more shallow breaths at the bottom of the spectrum, so in your diaphragm, is going to help your body calm down. And another way of doing that is actually holding your breath, because just like the ice cube trick, if you hold your breath, you can't think anxious thoughts and hold your breath at the same time. It's a good little experiment to do. So, and there's also a little trick called box breathing, where you breathe in for 4 seconds through your nose, you hold for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds through your mouth, hold for 4 seconds, and you do that 4 times.
That sounds amazing. I feel like I would definitely think of doing that, but then maybe when I get up there, I think it would be a practice, because you'd have to really hone in on those skills. But I think, it's so many amazing tips in there.
Jess, it totally is a practice, and I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I work on this every single day, because for me, it is my job and my livelihood is at stake, and how I want to come across in the world is all wrapped up in this. So it is so important to me. But I would argue that there are so many women out there who don't put themselves out there, but they are really just denying themselves so many opportunities to either grow their brand or their business, or be able to step up and find more opportunities for themselves if they were just more visible. Public speaking in this world of kind of disconnect, public speaking and being able to tell a story and connect with people in a really compelling way, I don't think it's ever been more important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you say, you know, women just, they're denying themselves because I think that imposter syndrome is coming through. They're not sure they can do it. But if you're not putting yourself out there and you're not being seen, you're not going to find out what you love to do. You know, you're not going to be outside your comfort zone. How would you ever know? And being seen is really hard to do. It takes a lot of vulnerability and a lot of courage to put yourself out there. Even like a simple thing like Instagram stories, I know for me that's something that I'm aiming to move towards, but that's really difficult. And all you have to do is be one-on-one with the camera, but you're putting yourself out there to the world.
Yeah. So I would break it down into some smaller steps. You can't go from being terrified of public speaking to doing a TED talk in 1 week. I would just break it down into baby steps. So challenge yourself to film like one video a day. Don't post them. Just film one video a day. And get yourself used to being on camera and for there not being like a big risk or a huge amount at stake. And then I would sit there and I would think about why it is that you're not showing up. Is it because you're scared of stuffing up? Is it because you're scared of what other people will think? And like I mentioned before, get really clear on who it is. Who is it that you're worried about what they're going to think of you? And then I think take a leaf out of, I think we can learn so much from men in this space. They always put themselves out there before they're ready. And even when it comes to applying for jobs, you know, Hewlett-Packard did a survey not so long ago where men will apply for jobs when they feel like they're 60% qualified. Women feel like they need to be 100% qualified. So I think we can definitely look at the men in our lives and borrow a bit of confidence from them.
Yes, absolutely agree with that. So you do coaching work with people. You help them with that. Is it public speaking and voice? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this has been one of the amazing parts and why I say that that panic attack was a gift. Because when I was trying to get through it, I thought, okay, I'm going to try a little bit of exposure therapy, which is where you put yourself doing the thing that you're most terrified of. You just do it again and again and again. And look, it does work. I probably went a little bit too far on that front. But I just said yes to every speaking opportunity that came my way. And as a result, I put myself in front of a whole bunch of new audiences. And women would come up to me afterwards and say, how do you do that? How do you get up on stage? You seem so confident. I wish I could get up on stage and do what you do, but I'm terrified of public speaking. And that just kind of organically led to me doing some one-on-one coaching where I would say, look, I'm scared too, but here's how I hold my body. Here's what I do with my hands, because we learn all this stuff in TV. Like we're doing live crosses and we learn how to hold ourselves and how to tell a story and what to do with our voice, how to keep it calm and modulated, and the body language hacks that really work. So I would start teaching these women one-on-one and it has been the best fun. There's my biggest success story is a woman who it was her very first CEO role. She was terrified of public speaking but had to front up, do a lot of high-level public speaking and also social media to camera stuff that she'd never done before. She started out so scared that her voice, even with a microphone, people had to strain to hear her, to 6 months later saying to me, I want to put myself out on the speaking circuit and get an agent. So yeah, that makes me really happy.
That's awesome for her to, you know, take on that role and then have to go through all the public speaking and you're able to help them. That's so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, you know, it can be addictive once you start seeing that the whole world isn't going to implode. You know, there's that thing of what's the worst thing that could happen. Even if you get up there and you freeze, another client of mine was doing a panel and she said that she just bombed, you know, like her cheeks went bright red. She stuttered her way through, but unbeknownst to her, someone was filming it. And so we watched that video together. It didn't look that bad. It is often so much worse in your head than it actually appears to everyone else.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. That's insane, though, that you can feel all those adrenaline rushing and then you're totally calm on the outside.
Yes.
That's so good. So if anyone wants to find you or they need you to help them and they want to get a little bit of coaching done, how can they get in touch?
Well, you can definitely hit me up via Instagram, which is at Katrina Blowers, or you can go to my website, which is katrinablowers.com. There is only one of me, sadly. I would love to replicate myself, particularly on the parenting front. But I've decided earlier this year, I made an online course, a digital course, which shows people all the strategies and techniques that I use to reclaim my confidence and body language hacks and storytelling tips and all of that kind of thing. And that's in a digital course, which you can find on my website. And I do the one-on-one coaching too, or there's tons of people who I've interviewed, high-profile people from all walks of life who talk about their biggest confidence challenges and how they overcame them over on my podcast, which is also called Claiming Your Confidence.
Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been so many good tips in there, and I think that people will get a lot, and I know I'll definitely be going back and listening to all the tips on the episode.
Oh, I'm so glad, and it's been my absolute pleasure, and I've loved connecting with you again, Jess. Thanks so much for reaching out.
Thanks, Katrina.
And I've loved connecting with you again, Jess. Thanks so much.